Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 142, and today's date is December 12th, 2018. Yes, listeners, I am back. This is Carrie, and I am your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by that dynamic tag team, Kent and Russ. How you doing, guys?
Fantastic, Carrie. It's great to have you back, though. You know, it was tough doing all the hosting duties. So I like it when you're back. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. And it's good to be back. I feel much better. I don't know what happened last week.
I will say this, though. Kent and I usually ramble on like crazy. I thought we did a very good job. We only went over by 15 to 20 minutes than the normal time.
So it was only 15 minutes. Yeah. Let's bury Horowitz ourselves.
It's good stuff, all right? So I'm proud of us. But anyway, ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at my screen right now because I was looking to see what number episode we were on. And the post right below it is a picture of the four Lost Boys from the film Lost Boys. And nice. God damn it. If you just really want to epitomize the 80s, I feel that you could just use that picture and I feel people would just be like, okay, yeah, I get it. So, that's how I'm doing.
Fair enough. So, for our first-time listeners who I'm sure are confused as to what they're actually listening to, first, welcome to our show. Second, we actually talk about all things wrestling. This week, we're going to preview TLC. We're going to see a return of Carrie's Corner. We're going to answer Russ's favorite question. Check in with all things Rollins in the weekly Rollins Report. And, of course, we have our favorite game, and yours, Guess the Rest, are coming up for you as well. But before we get to any of that, Kent, what's your moment of bliss for the week?
This weekend I had a lovely Ling Fest at Sheila's house, and it was a good time. We had a nice, we just had a good time. Lots of jokes about broken toilets and amputated appendages, and God damn, I just summed up the whole night. And Slim Jims. So, Slim Jims. Still got a bunch of them. And I'm wearing a Macho Man shirt, so that's some advertising
shit. You are snapping into it, sir.
I want to say one other thing, though. WWE is no longer shameless about it. Yes, you know, first we suspected. Moment of bliss. Let's steal it. Oh, let's push the Ascension. Okay. Let's push Becky. Okay. Now they are interjecting Heath Slater into a Seth Rollins match, which came straight from my mouth like 2 weeks ago. The Revival got brought up as being completely underutilized, and Asuka's on the verge of probably getting a championship that is long overdue. And the ratings are really terrible, so let's just blame Russ.
I was going to say, you know, it's all good. They're stealing all of our ideas, and it's the worst it's ever been. So I don't know if this is positive here.
But you and I liked the show. Like, yes, I liked the show last week. I liked a good portion of it this week. This is actually wrestling that I want to see. So I don't give a fuck about the ratings. I think they should continue doing what they're doing, and the fans will either chime in or they'll go elsewhere, which is fine either way. They'll still make money.
True. I have to say, nothing's been terrible this last couple of weeks.
So. Exactly. Like, there is not a segment where I'm sitting there going, nope, and I fast forward for an hour. I was doing that all the time in October and a good portion of November.
Yeah.
So, at least they're giving us something different.
Yes.
And that was my moment of bliss, not yours, WWE.
All right, guys, let's jump into the TLC card. First matchup, we have Natalya versus Ruby Riott in a tables match. I've been sort of following the build for this. I think I'm one of the viewers who dropped off on the ratings. So I'm not completely up to date with all that's been happening. But I know that Natalya's father's been brought up in the storyline with these two. As to who's going to win it, probably Natalya because of the, you know, father factor. What do you think, Russ?
Whew, all right. Yeah, so this whole thing, if there's one thing that's been bad, I have to say, this has been bad. Oh my god, I cannot stand this at all. It's bad. But Ruby's looking pretty good. I think Ruby's going to win this thing, after all. But I think she's definitely going through the table with Jim on the face, right? Oh, did you, or have you not seen that part yet? Carrie, I don't know what you watched, since you seem to always fade off of wrestling. Did you watch that part?
I watched the first 20 minutes and went to bed.
That's what I thought. All right, so they brought up, Ruby brought
commitment.
Up a, yeah. Ruby brought out a table with Jim the Neidhart on it, like one of the things on it. She said, I'm going to smash you through this table. I think Ruby's going to go through that, but I still think Ruby is going to win the whole thing. That's my call. That's my call.
And Kent.
Yeah, I take back that there hasn't been anything bad. This really is an exception to the rule. I will look at the silver lining. I thought Ruby did a really good job on the mic, because we never hear her on the mic. Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't, you know, spellbinding or anything. But for somebody who gets such little mic work, she did a really good job. And instantly outshine Natalya, who's one of the worst people ever in the history of ever on the mic. So, kudos to Ruby. Kudos for Ruby getting a match on a pay-per-view. This has to be pre-show, right?
Oh, like, oh yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't even... Is there a point in Natalya winning?
No. That's why I'm thinking it's got to be Ruby, right? You got to establish Ruby.
Who got the upper hand on nobody. Raw, though?
Well, technically nobody. I would guess you'd say Ruby got the upper hand because she, you know, insulted Natty by having that picture of her father on the table. That's the only, you know.
I mean, with Jim and Dynamite both dying, this might be a time where they've... I'm going to pick Natalya begrudgingly, and then post-match beatdown. Right,
that could possibly happen, too.
And Sarah Logan with the win.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Let's move on to the next matchup. We got Elias versus Bobby Lashley in a ladder match. You know, this is what upsets me about the... Like, I know you guys have found a lot to enjoy on Raw lately. I haven't. And the thing that upsets me is I don't get to see my weekly Elias segment. I'm very upset by that. And with that being said, I want Elias to win this match. Kent, your thoughts?
As I was watching Raw this week, I was like, you know, couldn't they have just kept Lashley face and Elias heel? Like, I don't know. Just, it's one of those things, and I'm still anti-Leo Rush. Like, I enjoy the child jokes. They're funny. Like, I laugh. I do. I like them, but... It's a shame that they don't let Lashley just talk, because the guy can talk, and this feud could have been a lot more entertaining. Honestly, how the hell is this match even getting a ladder? Like, how this match that really doesn't have much of a story get a... What purpose is the ladder serving? Usually, like, you have a ladder match, it serves a purpose. A championship or something?
It really should have been a Leo Rush on a pole match.
Or a something, Leo Rush in a shark cage.
Oh, man. They really dropped the ball with a shark
cage. They did. Wow. This is if there was ever a time to use shark cage, this was it.
TLCS. See.
Yes.
We have had a shark cage in how many pay-per-views? I mean, seriously. Yeah, you're right. They dropped the ball.
So come Royal Rumble, we all know that we're getting a shark cage match because they are stealing again.
Yep. They'll think that they missed the opportunity, too.
I'm going to pick Lashley because Elias is so good that unfortunately he never really needs a win. Like, Lashley needs the win. Lashley also has the interference factor. I want Elias to win, but I think Lashley's winning and I'm okay with that too. He really does need... Lashley should win the Rumble, in all fairness. He really should be, but he won't.
Russ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same page as Kent here on this one. As much as I want Elias to win it, he doesn't need it. Bobby desperately needs a win here. So if he doesn't win it, so the way I'm looking at this, if he doesn't win this, then WWE has no interest in moving him up the ladder at all. He's just going to be swimming in mediocrity. Or, you know, so that, or that's it, right? I mean, if they don't, if he doesn't win this, they got to establish him. He's got to be established. And there's no reason for Elias to win it. Now, all it is the ladder match is just to get the guitar. You don't win if you get the guitar, right?
Oh, that's what's hanging above the ring?
Yes.
What the fuck? I watched and I paid attention. Yeah, I still did not know this.
It's all right. When you said it was a ladder match, I was like, what are you talking about? It's a ladder match. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. So,
okay, so you get a... So is that how you win, or is there still a pinfall involved?
I think there's a pinfall still involved. So I'll say Elias gets the guitar, but Apollo... Or Apollo. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Bobby Lashley gets the win.
So basically, I agree with that sentiment. Whoever gets the ladder is losing the match.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on to the next matchup. We got Randy Orton versus Rey Mysterio in a chairs match. Only because I think, given the type of match it is, I want to see Randy Orton take this one because he could probably do some pretty sadistic things with that chair. What do you think, Russ?
Ooh, all right. So I kind of like this feud. It's been interesting. I like Randy in this new role of his. He's still boring as hell to watch. I don't think this match is going to be that great. No, I take it back. It's a chairs match with Jeff Hardy. It should be actually kind of fun and interesting. Or not Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. Man, so Apollo's Lashley.
Yeah.
And Jeff is Mexican. Jeff
is Mexican, yes. Sorry. So anyways, I was saying Rey. I think Rey can do a lot of fun things. Rey's awesome. Except when he wears that Booyaka 619 shit. So I'm going to say lots of fun, but Randy's going to win this one. I get Randy this one. He needs a win.
Kent, how about you?
That's the thing. Both guys could use a win, but neither guy needs a win.
Mm.
It's not going to push anybody to any higher heights, really. They would have been smart to have said that whoever wins this becomes the next number one contender. Then you have had a little bit more, you know, at stake here.
Problem is, the stake... Oh, no, wait, no, never mind, you're right, this is SmackDown, my bad.
I mean, honestly, like, you could make an argument that Randy still could win as a heel to go against heel Daniel because the promos between those two could be utterly fascinating. Rey versus Daniel, though, is actually... You know, it's. I don't want to say dream match anymore, but it would still be a really decent match. I feel they should have added that stipulation. I don't know. Randy's been good this year. This has been one of Randy's best years in the past 5 years, in my honest opinion. He feels a little rejuvenated with his character. He's putting on good matches at pay per views. I'll pick him. Although, I'm just really not sure what the fuck they're doing with Ray if Randy wins. So, going with Randy still.
All right, next match we have Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre. Are we sure Finn's going to be okay to wrestle in this match? I heard he was sick.
That's the only thing I've heard. They're expecting him back by then.
Okay.
But there's a possibility. I think they have something in the works if it falls, so...
Dolph?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, probably. I don't know. I just heard they didn't mention anything. They just said something is in the works just in case he's not ready.
Well,
which, duh. I'm sure they have something in the works.
Well, either way, Drew's going to win the match. So does it matter if it's Finn or if it's Dolph? Really?
Yeah. But Dolph doesn't really need a win. Finn really needs a win. And he's not going to get it here.
Oh, dear God, no. Kent, what are your thoughts on this match?
Does this have a stipulation or no?
Nope.
This still has potential for match of the night. But with Finn still probably recovering, I'm going to say it's not going to be. If both guys were legit healthy, I would make this my match of the night, though. I think these guys are going to have amazing chemistry. I want to see more from them. Not 3 months, but, you know, two and three quarters. Just not three. I don't want to say there's no reason to push Finn here, but there's no reason to push Finn here. Drew is your guy. He's got everything going for him, and he's the best male heel they have on Raw at the moment, I think. So I think you got to push him.
Yeah, I think they're going to give him the Braun Strowman of 2017 push.
I wonder if he's going to say, "I'm not finished with you," only in Scottish.
Oh, I hope so. We can add a new segment.
The Scottish, "I'm not finished with you yet."
I was going to say, you know how many segments we have? I think we're...
Get these bagpipes? I mean...
Get these bagpipes. Get these kilts?
Sold.
All right, Russ, what about your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, well, I think it would be good if they're both, you know, in good health, which I think they're going to... I'm hoping they both are. So I think this has potential to be a really good match. I don't know about match of the night, only because there's just so much crap going on, and Seth's not involved. I meant, anyway.
He's not able to injure Finn after his first world championship run. Jeez, that's a shame.
You sound bitter about that, Kent.
I'll save my bitterness for a later segment.
that's true. So Finn desperately needs a... Doesn't he need a win? Like,
Russ, hasn't Finn needed a win for the past 2 fucking years? And
yeah,
we keep saying, hey, doesn't Finn need a win? And eventually we grow numb to it, basically.
So, all right, yeah, because there's no way he's winning.
We are all numb to the situation, aren't we?
Yeah, you're right, because there's no way he's winning this. This is Drew all the way. Drew has to win this.
But if there is a backup plan, I'm just going to say, the demon isn't sick.
That's true.
That we know of.
You know who else isn't sick, who hasn't been on television for a while? Bray Wyatt.
Sister Abigail.
You guys still want that to happen, don't you?
I will give WWE $50 straight up to make that match still. I am all in on that.
All right. Speaking of matches that may or may not happen, the next one is a TLC match with Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin. I don't think this match is happening. Do you guys?
Yes. I think something's happening no matter what. I can't see how Corbin doesn't win this. This feels like a Corbin win. Right, Kat?
I think the easiest out here is Corbin's in charge. He can say the doc, like, Braun can come out and then Baron can be like, "You're still not cleared for whatever," get a ton of heat on Baron and win the match that way. Braun still shows up, gets the pop, but he doesn't get to do much because he does not look like he's healthy and ready to compete yet. So don't push this, WWE, please. Like, just let Braun heal. That elbow looked terrible.
Oh, that bruise is disgusting.
Oh yeah.
Plus, really, what does Braun win if he... If he wins, he just gets his match against Brock, his rematch, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So he just gets buried. So like, Braun doesn't win even when he wins. So
right.
Just give Corbin the win and let that storyline play out rather than... I don't want to see Brock versus Braun again after what they've done.
Like, yeah, they screwed it up big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my two people I want Brock is with Drew or Lashley. Like, those are the two Brock matches I want. Braun is good for
one of those
things
to happen in the next 3 months.
3 months, eh?
Yeah. Well, okay. It's a big window for when Brock's going to fight again. I know it's at Royal Rumble, but...
You say that.
But yeah, there's no possibility.
Are we 100% sure he's showing up?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm only 60% sure at this point. I don't...
I'm 60% with a 33.5% chance that he shows up.
Jesus, Scott Steiner, when'd you hit the air here?
All right.
Okay, let's move on to something I've been watching. I don't know if you guys have been tuning into. We have the Mixed Match Challenge Final. R-Truth and Carmella versus Jinder Mahal and Alicia Fox. I'm picking Carmella for the win here. What do you think, Kent?
So you don't watch the good stuff, but you watch the garbage, Carrie. There's something really to be said about this. You're watching shitty matches versus good stuff. You're watching mixed match, which has never been good, versus good stuff.
How has Raw been good the past 3 weeks?
Well, if you watched it, you would know.
If you listened to the podcast, you also know.
Right. Did you listen to last week's podcast?
I have not yet.
We spent a long time explaining why it was good. So there's your answer.
All right, I have my homework.
I have zero fucks to give about mixed match. Like, same as last year, same as this year. And if they keep going, which it seems like they will, which, how many replacements has there been? Seven? Eight?
Yeah, this has been, I don't think there's a single team, except for, no, I'm sorry, there are two teams, I think, that are still original.
Asuka and Miz,
three.
Carmella Truth,
and
Jinder and Alicia were.
Yeah. Oh, Jinder and Alicia were beginning? I thought Alicia jumped in somewhere, right before in the beginning.
And Rusev Lana, and Naomi and Uso.
Well, I feel like everybody changed.
Well,
I guess
feelings are hurt.
Yes.
Just like I am. I haven't watched this. Please tell me this is on the pre-show.
They haven't announced what actual matches are on the pre-show yet.
I mean, Carmella and Truth makes the most sense, right? But from a booking standpoint, doesn't it make more sense for Jinder to get number 30 in the Royal Rumble and then be like, oh, former world champion? And nobody's going to really believe it, but they'll hype it up as former world champion. Isn't that the WWE thing to do?
Yep, that's
plus
why
Alicia
I thought
Fox,
Jinder was winning this.
Like, Alicia can go apeshit if she wins. I'm all for Jinder and Alicia here.
Russ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm on board with Kat. I haven't watched a lick of this yet. I don't care. So I want Jinder and Alicia to win, because I think that's exactly what it sounds like. Gives Jinder a way to be, you know, make him sound like he's a credible threat still, because, you know, the guy's still thanking for what he did last year, right, with the belt and everything for India, yeah. So they got to make him still legitimate. So this is a good place for him. So I think he's got this. I think they got this.
And then somebody on commentary would be like, oh, I changed my pick, even though they know who's number 30 weeks in advance. As soon as number 30 gets called, oh, I changed my pick to Jinder. Like, God bless the Royal Rumble.
This is, you know, speaking about the Royal Rumble, you know what really ticks me off is we're going to know somebody's entrance, which gives somebody extra automatic points if they're paying attention.
I'm still calling Big Show at number 30. I don't care.
That works.
I don't like knowing. I like to guess.
All right, guys. I think we should take a quick break before we get to the championship matches. I think we're at the halfway point of this card. What do you guys think?
Jesus Christ, Carrie, you couldn't have dropped any bigger hints if you tried.
Oh, yeah. I could have.
Could you?
Yeah.
Next week, drop bigger hints. Yeah. I want to see how ridiculous this can get.
I want to hear words like, let's go around the corner and see what's going on now with our break. Carrie.
My favorite song from CCR is Down on the Corner.
Hey, Carrie, question for you.
Yeah.
How's that corner doing?
Oh,
we haven't
my.
Seen it since Kent and I destroyed it. So how's it going?
Well, I cleaned up the mess that you guys left. And unfortunately, after I cleaned it up, a whole mess of stuff got piled on. There's a lot going on in the world of the non-WWE world, listeners. Yes, listeners, you heard correctly. My corner is back. And I got lots in store for you this week and the next few weeks as we go through Ring of Honor's final battle weekend. We got the road to Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Kingdom 13 coming up. Just a lot going on. So let me kick it all off with the fallout from this past weekend's World Tag League. finals of the World Tag League, we had Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga, and Tongaloa versus Evil and Sonata. Winner was Evil and Sonata. I watched this. It was an amazingly good match. Both sets of guys just really put on a good show. I'm really looking forward to what they come up with for Wrestle Kingdom 13. With that being said, Evil and Sonata now get a title shot against Gorillas of Destiny at Wrestle Kingdom 13. The other thing that was added to that title match at Wrestle Kingdom is the Young Bucks have been added, and it's now a triple threat match for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team title. The other thing that happened at the World Tag League Finals, Kota Ibushi won the Never Openweight Championship. He was challenged by number one contender Will Ospreay, who beat Tai Chi earlier in the evening for a mask. So it'll be Kota Ibushi versus Will Ospreay at Wrestle Kingdom 13, otherwise known as the match where somebody may die. With those two things happening at World Tag League, we now have basically a final card for Wrestle Kingdom 13. I'll preview this once we get closer to the actual event on January 4th. So a pre-show, we're going to have the Never Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Gauntlet match. They do that every year usually on the main show. This year it's been bumped to the pre-show. Unfortunately, listeners who actually have watched Wrestle Kingdoms, this means that there's no longer a New Japan Rumble. So sad. Opening match for the main card, we have Kota Ibushi versus Will Ospreay for the Never Openweight title. We have El Desperado and Yoshinobu Kanemaru versus Roppongi 3K versus Bushi and Shingo Takagi for the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title. We have the Rev Pro British Heavyweight title being defended. We got Tomohiro Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. I just mentioned the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team title, G.O.D. versus The Young Bucks versus Evil and Sonata. It's going to be Cody and Juice Robinson for the IWGP US title. Kushida and Taiji Ishimori for the Junior Heavyweight title. Kazuchika Okada versus Jay White. This is just going to be a special match. No title at stake there. Chris Jericho versus Tetsuya Naito for the IWGP Intercontinental title. And your main event, Kenny Omega versus Hiroshi Tanahashi for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. All right, let's move on to Ring of Honor Final Battle, which occurs this Friday, December 14th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For listeners who want to check that out, you can watch it on the Fight TV app on pay-per-view or via Honor Club at ROHWrestling.com. I wonder if we'll get a plug from ROH now for that, since I basically plugged their pay-per-view. Anyway.
Amazingly, you did that much faster than we did the six matches so far.
Yeah. It helps when you got everything written out.
I ate four Slim Jims during Carrie's Corner.
I got a lot of work I needed to for my son done, so this is good stuff. Good corn.
Not only that, I just realized, the Young Bucks are basically Charlotte Flair. They just insert themselves into matches just for championships, and they just get by on names.
Well, that's actually a complaint that a lot of people are having about them being added to this match. Like, they didn't show up for the entire World Tag League, but all of a sudden they're in the title picture. I mean, the whole point of World Tag League is to win a title shot at Wrestle Kingdom.
But don't we
thank you for validating my complaint.
People want to see them. So that's the reason. I mean, we all know that.
That, and this could be their final Wrestle Kingdom, depending on what they do come January 1st. This event and the one I'm about to talk about, Final Battle, there's a lot of implications with the Elite as to how they're booked for both of these shows will probably indicate what is going to happen to them after said shows. With that being said, let's jump into the Final Battle card. I'm going to go through my picks as we're going through. First matchup, we have Kenny King versus Eli Isom. I see Kenny King winning this one. I'll be shocked if Isom wins. Next matchup, we have Zack Sabre Jr. versus Jonathan Gresham. I know it's an ROH pay-per-view, but I want to see Sabre Jr. win this one. Next match, we have kind of a matchup that's probably going to cause some tension in my household because I'm a fan of one and Eric's fan is a fan of another of the other. We have Dalton Castle versus Matt Taven. Dalton Castle is probably going to pick up the win here, but I'd like to see Matt Taven win it. Moving on to Marty Scurll versus Christopher Daniels. This is a right to a Ring of Honor world title match. Marty won this title shot at Survival of the Fittest, put it up against Christopher Daniels at Final Battle. I see Marty winning this. There's rumors that Christopher Daniels is either retiring or possibly going elsewhere. I don't know. It's very up in the air. Kind of goes with the whole Elite thing where they're pretty much up in the air at this point. Next match, we have an I Quit match between Flip Gordon and Bully Ray. I'm picking Bully Ray. Anytime there's a very hardcore intensive match, Bully Ray seems to shine. And I don't. But on the other hand, he also beat Flip Gordon in the last match they had, so maybe he'll win, but I'm still going with Bully Ray for this one. Next matchup, we have the ROH World TV Championship between Jeff Cobb and Hangman Page. This is one match where I'm kind of curious how they're going to book it. I think the booking is going to depend on whether or not Hangman Page re-signs with the Ring of Honor before has any plans to re-sign with Ring of Honor and what his next steps are going to be. So I'm picking Jeff Cobb for the win. Next matchup, we have SCU, SoCal Uncensored, Scorpio Sky, and Frankie Kazarian versus the Young Bucks versus the Briscoes in a ladder war match. I'm picking SCU to pick up the win here. Then we have the ROH Women's Title Four Corner Survival match between Sumi Sakai, Medicine Rain, Karen Q, and Kelly Klein. I think Sumi's had an amazing run with this title. I mean, she was the inaugural champion and everything like that, but I think it's time for somebody else to take the title, and I think that person is Kelly Klein. Last but not least, we have the Ring of Honor World title match, Jay Lethal versus Cody. I'm picking Jay Lethal for the win. And there is my final battle preview, and my very, very busy corner is now closed and presented to all of you.
That was more like a city block than a corner.
Told you it was busy.
I ate 7 Slim Jims with easy cheese.
Man, I am envious.
It was time well spent.
Yeah.
And made Russ jealous.
I am.
So, here's the difference between one show and the other show. One show seems to have nice, normal matches. The other one seems to try to squeeze as many human beings as possible on the card. Is that just like do other Japanese organizations do that, or is it just New Japan?
I mean, this is light compared to previous cards for previous events, where it's six-man tag after six-man tag after six-man tag.
Right, yeah. It's just a lot of people. Like, is that a traditional Japanese thing, is my question, though.
For most New Japan cards, yeah. I mean, you have all their titles, and they have a ton of titles. It's ridiculous how many title belts they have. I mean, they got the two junior heavyweight titles. They got the three, if you don't count the tag team title, heavyweight titles. If you include the heavyweight tag team titles, well, you have four. And then you have the two never titles. It's insane how many belts they have. And now they're adding the Rev Pro in there as well.
That is a lot of titles.
Yes. And I'll be up at 3 a.m. watching it probably live on January 4th.
I'll be up then, too.
I'm glad that you'll get up to watch that, but you can't stay up past 8:20 to watch the rest of WWE.
One, I'm up at 5 in the morning during the week. And two, it takes a lot to hold my interest now. And just Raw's just not cutting it for me.
Just saying, traitor. I meant you, ND darling, you.
Hey, that Ring of Honor in New Japan entertains me. WWE does not. WWE I like to view as a good appetizer. It got me into the game, and Ring of Honor and New Japan are helping me stay. Because I think I would have stopped watching a long time ago if I was just watching WWE.
I could see that. For some people.
A lot of people walk away after so many months and or years from WWE because it's so cyclical. And it's very repetitive. Cyclical and repetitive. But what I have learned over this past year of Carrie's Corner is that New Japan's no fucking different. How many times have I heard the words Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes at or near the main event? How many times do I hear Young Bucks? Like, it's always the same stuff. So it's really what it comes down to is who you prefer in ring. Like, I mean, really, wrestling is wrestling. No matter where you look at it, it's just who you prefer, what style
you prefer. I think that's where it is. Yeah. Style you prefer.
Well, I think with guys like Omega, Cody, and the Young Bucks, even Hangman Page to an extent, is the reason they're being booked like this is because the Elite right now in that part of professional wrestling is what sells. I mean, even on the cruise.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's what the WWE does too. I mean, don't they?
And this is my complaint, yes. Is that indie snobs, not indie fans, indie snobs will critique the shit out of WWE and praise other organizations for doing the exact same thing. And I'm like, just say that you prefer something. There's no need to criticize one and celebrate another when they both doing the same thing. They both painting their face blue. They both got blue face.
But one has sparkles.
Wetter hair?
Or wetter hair. Yeah, okay, let's go with wetter hair.
There's not as much wet hair in Japan, is there?
No, there's not.
That's
there's a lot
you
of
like
neck
dry
bumps,
hair.
Though. Oh. A lot of neck bumps.
Yeah.
And like I said, don't get me wrong, I actually like New Japan and Ring of Honor, honestly. Well, Ring of Honor, eh. But New Japan I do like. I can't be bothered to watch so much wrestling, and WWE is just going to win out. It's got so much more potential for me, and I don't have to be up at 3 in the morning to watch.
And it has Seth Rollins.
But it also has promos. Like, does New Japan do many promos? Like,
they don't do promos per se. They do backstage interview segments which serve as promos and basically help with the storylines.
See, that's a big deal for me. I admit this is where I'm a WWE homer. I like the stupid shit as far as in-ring promos. You know how dumb it's going to be most of the time, but I still like it because it sets the stage and it kind of kills some time during the 3 fucking hours a week.
And that's actually one of the reasons I loved Lucha Underground. The stories were fantastic. And the matches were flippy shit. If New Japan did that, I might be sold.
I wish Lucha had more money.
Me too. Honestly.
I think Lucha would be the best of all worlds combined if they could promote.
Yeah, that is their biggest problem. They have no ability to promote because they're fantastic. And you get a good, funny... It's stupid shit stories. Love it. But it gives you good wrestling matches, too. Like, there are very few bad wrestling matches on Lucha Underground.
I mean, Lucha Underground was the first non-WWE promotion I watched. And basically, I just fell in love with it.
Exactly. And it's the one that's doing the worst.
But can we all agree that we have not offered a single ounce of praise to TNA because it sucks?
Does it suck?
TNA doesn't exist anymore. It's Impact.
You know what? You can call a piece of shit a tulip.
It's still a piece of shit.
It's still named after tits and ass. Good job, Vince Russo. Good job.
All right, Carrie, you're supposed to be keeping us on track here.
Yeah. Let's get back to the TLC card, guys. But before we do that, we do have a title change to talk about. For a belt that's not even on this card. So let's get into that first and jump to our segment, Were You Not Entertained? So listeners, basically for this segment, we pick Each week, we pick a segment and we discuss whether or not we were entertained by it. This week, we're going to talk about the Raw Tag Team title change between Authors of Pain and Chad Gable and Bobby Roode. And I think it was on a 3-on-2 match with Roode and Gable picking up the win. I watched the highlights of this match, so I'm going to say I was entertained. Russ, you.
Ooh, all right. This is tough. So AOP just gets the titles, what, like 3 weeks ago?
Somebody's calendar's a little off, but close.
What was it?
I think they've had them since like October.
Have they? Maybe. I thought
they beat the B team. Like, think about the last time the B team
AOP
was relevant.
No, AOP didn't beat the B team. AOP beat Rollins.
Oh God, I have blacked a lot of shit out of my head.
You apparently did, because that was only like 3 weeks ago.
Can we pretend it was 3 months ago?
You wish it was 3 months. I would be okay with them losing. I would be entertained by this because this was good. My problem is they just got it 3 weeks ago, and you don't even let them do anything with it. That's a travesty, and I don't care how good the match was. Screw you. I'm not entertained.
Ken, how about you?
Well, we got our answer on how they were going to get the belts off AOP. Out of ways to do it. Having a 3-on-2 involving Spud, I mean, Drake, Maverick.
He's still Rockstar Spud to us.
Really, he's one of those few people I just can't let go of the original name. Usually I'm okay with moving on, but I can't. With that being said, I just really wanted the Glorious Gable, AOP, and Revival triple threat. Now, the reason I'm saying I am entertained is because I am a firm believer that this is leading to Revival getting the tag team championships off of Glorious Gable. And I believe that that will eventually lead to the triple threat match. So I'm okay with this as it is because there's only a handful of ways to get the belts off AOP. This was one of them. I was disappointed at first, but I'm okay with it now. Entertained, I guess.
I guess if it does lead to the Revival getting the belts, because that's what I thought. That's what I actually thought at first, so I was okay with it. But then the more and more insane came to me, it's like, I don't know. Are they ready? How long is that going to take? It should have been AOP versus Revival. AOP or the Revival are really good tweeners that can go against heels and faces. It doesn't matter.
November 5th, they won it.
So, okay, a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Like four or five episodes, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hell of a run. Hell of a run.
Hell of a run for a young team like them. Hell of a run.
And yet, we must say, this is way better than what most NXT talents get.
True. But lately, yes, that's true. Did you know it was over with the second Drake got tagged in? Like, you're like, that's it, they lost?
Bobby seemed like he was squirming around getting himself ready for the whole thing. Yeah. Unless, like, I was like, wow, Bobby, you're slightly better than this. What's going on here, buddy?
Yeah, it felt so obvious. Like, okay, Drake's going in and getting pinned. That's it. Yeah, because it looked like maybe it was because Bobby moved. Maybe it was Bobby's fault. I don't know. I was just blaming Drake, but this is the way to get Drake separated from AOP, I think. So, all right.
All right, while we're talking championships and stuff like that, let's move into the championship matches on the TLC card. First matchup, we have the WWE Cruiserweight Championship match, Buddy Murphy versus Cedric Alexander. Did I miss something? When does Cedric Alexander get back in the title picture? I mean, I want Buddy Murphy to win, but could somebody enlighten me on this? Ken, you probably know. Ken?
Yeah, because I watch 205 every week, and That storyline, it's been epic in storytelling ways, in that Cedric, he wanted his title back, and he told Drake, I want my title back, and Drake's like, you gotta earn it back by being in this match, and Cedric's like, alright, I'll be in this match, and then Cedric won aforementioned match becoming the number one contender, and that is how we got this match.
Yeah, and I think my favorite part of that whole storytelling aspect was the fact that they told a really good story. I mean, it was
epic.
It was such a good story. I loved it. So
was it a historic first time ever story?
No, Carrie. No, not historic or first time. But it was a very good story.
And I just really wanted to throw those words out.
I may take a shot. I have this nice macadamia nut liqueur that's really good to sip. I may take a sip every time I hear that on Sunday.
You're going to hear me an idea. You're going to be dead from alcohol poisoning, because that's going to happen a lot.
But my foot won't get amputated, Russ.
That is true. That is true. Oh, man. Poor Tuan. If you're listening, Tuan, we're sorry.
I don't even want to know.
Oh, I'm sure you'll find out on that weekend.
I'm picking Buddy Murphy to retain.
I'm picking Buddy Murphy to retain, too.
All right. So before we discuss the next match, Russ, I got a question for you.
Oh, yeah? What is it, Carrie?
Is it mild?
Excellent question. So, listeners, it's my segment. And again, now it's the segment, Is It Mild? Basically what it is I take a wrestling segment from the week and I decide to dissect it. Is it a wrestling segment? Is this something we love as wrestling fans? So I got my scale from mild to not really. Medium, okay, you're getting there. Hot, that's a wrestling segment. And then, of course, our TJ Bree, our TJ Bree mode, suicide. So this week I chose the wrestling segment of the rap battle. I should have been more obvious. Like, I couldn't think of anything, and Kent helped me with it. I couldn't believe I didn't see this. It's so obvious that this is the segment. The rap battle between Sheamus and either Jimmy or Jay. I'm not. Or is it both? I don't even know if it was a rap battle between the bar and Jimmy and Jay.
The bar versus the Usos.
Okay.
Russ.
Well, it seemed like
you should really know your segment.
It seemed like. Well, no, to me, it seemed like Ice Shamey was the lead. So I didn't know if Cesaro was just backing him up, just like Jay was backing up Jimmy. So that's all. Okay, sorry. Didn't realize that. So,
I mean, Kerry comes in professional and gives us a whole fucking corner. You come in, you're like, I don't even know who's in the rap battle. What the fuck, Russ?
I was in it. I just wasn't sure if it was team versus team or individual versus individual. Anyway, so we got Ice Shamey, and I have to say, that was some fantastic rapping on their part. Kudos to them. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And for Jimmy and Jay, wow, they're really good. They're talented. I'm not gonna hilarious and great. Ice Shamey is talented. Was Jimmy and Jay? So, was this a wrestling segment? Absolutely. This is the kind of thing we like. I am definitely saying hot. I almost want to go TJ Bree, but in a typical fashion, it's the same. You know, it was dumb. I can't say it was like, yes, super awesome. There were some dumb moments in it, but I still enjoyed a heck about it. Give it a hot.
Yeah, I thought that segment was hilarious. It was good. It was better than it had any reason to be.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Bebop and Rocksteady reference.
Fantastic.
In all fairness, it's stuff like this that keeps me as a WWE fan. Like, honestly, it's the stupid shit that, you know, we said stupid shit. This is the stupid shit that keeps... I don't think I'd stay around if we didn't have this. Like,
yeah, like, this is the stuff some people are going to complain about because it was stupid. What? Exactly. Stupid, right. And funny. It was great.
It was probably the best segment on SmackDown?
Except for Asuka really kicking the crap out of Charlotte.
We'll get there.
Yeah. I'm going to say, yeah, it is.
Don't bust yet, Russ.
Sorry.
Hold out.
I am.
All right. While we're...
Think of Nia Jax naked.
Ew. All right. Let's talk SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. We had the bar versus the Usos versus the New Day. I gotta go with the Usos for the win. I don't know why. Something tells me the Usos are gonna win this. Kent, how about you?
Yeah, my Audi went to an innie. I believe the bar had the upper hand. That concerns me when, you know, whenever you are John Doe at the end of a, you know, the show before the pay-per-view, it's not good. It's not good. There's no reason for New Day to get the belt so quickly. The Usos, on the other hand, sure, I'm ready. I'm ready for another round of them. The only thing, at some point or another, I just wish they would reincorporate Sanity, Gallows and Anderson, and the Colognes. Like, those are three great teams as well. Maybe not as great as the other three, but damn close. Like, really damn close. Usos. I think this is going... This has to be match of the night.
Yeah.
I would say, like, no, everybody's so, right? Familiar.
It's no stipulation?
Nope.
I still think... Oh, yeah, it still has
a chance. It's not TLC?
No.
Oh, nothing if this of all TLC. Matches, like, this should have been TLC.
Yeah, if this was TLC, this would be match of the night. Even if
I retract my match of the night.
Even ladder match.
Yeah, I kind of... I'm retracting my match of the night claim now.
Yeah.
I'm not. I still think it's going to be good.
Oh, it's definitely going to be good. I think this...
It'll be good. I just don't think it's the best.
Yeah, TLC always has the potential to be fantastic. So... But it's going to lay some stinkers this year, because there's just so many damn matches. Yes, okay. So, my turn, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. So, again, I same thing as Ken. None of these teams need the win. None of the teams need... It doesn't matter who wins. There are established, great wrestling tag teams. They always deliver. Who cares who has the belt at this point between the three of them? I don't think New Day needs it again. They still need to be a part of that five-time championship. So, I'm okay with Usos winning it. I'm okay with Bar keeping it. Honestly, I guess I prefer the Bar to keep it. But since they're more heel tag teams that are newer, I guess you'd want Jimmy and Jay. So, Jimmy and Jay. Just to get the other teams back into this.
All right, since we mentioned her, let's talk about the Raw Women's Championship match, Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax. Out of the three of us, is there anyone who thinks Ronda isn't retaining?
No.
Well, there was at one point Kent came up with the great idea of Nia getting it. And Ronda going, being able to do something else. Wasn't there? You talked yourself into Nia winning it here.
Yeah, I think I did, but I think the reality is Becky's winning the Rumble, which we'll talk about later, but I think Ronda keeps the belt. I think it's just the safest to play.
Yeah.
Because WWE's never in the history of ever been sold on featuring Tamina. And this is as close to featured as Tamina is going to be as a sidekick. And it's still just... It really doesn't do anything. And I don't know. I don't think Nia is the one to take it off of her.
Would There's be her first loss, too, right? So.
Ronda's?
Yeah. It would be Ronda's first loss, right?
Well, wait. Who did Bliss cash Money in the Bank on?
Nia had the belt. Ronda was going for it.
Okay, so yeah, it would be her first... I mean, aside from picking Natalya as her best friend.
Well, yeah, of course.
That's a loss.
That's a loss. That's, yeah, terrible. All right.
Yeah, we're all in agreement, and nobody has a penis anymore.
Like, yeah, this was such a bad lead-up. I don't... This could be Ronda's first really bad match, and it won't be her fault at all.
I don't think it'll be a bad match.
You don't think so?
It should be okay. They rehearse the shit out of it. They'll make sure they hit enough spots, and it'll go 8, 10, maybe even 12 minutes. One thing I don't like, and maybe it's just me, I don't like when Ronda does the whole, like, eye makeup thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah, it's terrible.
No.
It really doesn't look right on her.
No. She needs to stop doing that. Rhonda, seriously, take it from us. Stop. Just stop.
Yeah, she's much better looking and I don't know. I'm not afraid of her with her war paint on or anything. I just don't want her on my screen with it.
Yeah, yeah. It does take away from her beauty. A little bit. It's not Rhonda arouse me when that's on.
No, Rhonda does not arouse me there.
I wonder, am I the only person when I hear them chanting Rhonda, does it sound like they're saying Rhonda arouse me?
In our heads, yes, it does us, but that's because it's stuck in our heads.
Okay, maybe. I keep on thinking, I want to go to a live event with her there, and I want to chant Rhonda arouse me. I want to see if people pick it up.
Speaking of things that people find arousing.
Oh boy, somebody's going to get their penis back.
Russ? I think it's time for the weekly Rollins Roundup.
Yes, that is arousing. And boy, do I have a major clue going on here. So, excuse me. I know Ket is itching for this segment this week. Rollins Roundup. It's all about what happens with Rollins. And man, did Rollins come out on fire this week all across the board. So I'm going to give you the pros of what happened this week on those segments. And Kent is surely going to rip them apart. But before Kent gets to that, I get to talk about Rollins. So comes out, he starts the week out. And I will complain about this. I hate the WWE. Because instead of just hearing it once, burn it down. WWE put that on repeat now. And I swear to God, if that's his new music, I am going to slightly less like Seth. Just slightly. I mean, it'll be like a little dip down. It won't be terrible. Because that was really annoying. Oh my God. All right, now let's get to the good stuff. All right, so Seth comes out and he acknowledges how bad things have been on WWE Raw, like Carrie and her, indie darlings agree with. And he goes and blames Baron Corbin. Now, I know Kent's got issues with that because Baron Corbin's been doing a fantastic job. Fantastic. Nothing wrong with what he's been doing. But Seth seems to think so. So, I'm kind of turning on that a little bit. I think Seth's right. But anyway, nothing said about that. Blames Baron Corbin for all the problems. So he gets Baron into a fight. Baron intelligently decides to make it a TLC match. Great idea, by the way. We haven't had one of those in a long time. This was fun. And make it for the Intercontinental Championship. So night goes by, blah, blah, blah. We get to the final main event. Gives us a good half-hour match, which was fantastic. I thought this was great all around. Baron knows what he's doing in these types of matches. He showed it in the chair match a year ago now. It's been about a year. 2 years. Oh, my God. 2 years ago. And he showed it here. For a television match, this was great. I really enjoyed it. I like how the ending involved Heath. I really love the story they're doing with Heath here. I thought it was obvious Seth was going to retain. But apparently Kent didn't. So that was it. I loved it. I thought this was great. Seth had a fantastic week. This is kudos to him. So Sunday's going to be a big fall. I'm prepared to get the tissues out for several reasons.
Several reasons.
Several reasons.
I think to myself, it's a week before TLC. All right, you want to do a TLC match? Okay. So you put your least safe wrestler behind Brock Lesnar. I mean, Brock Lesnar's the most unsafe.
Thank you.
Aside from, I mean, the man retired Sting and ended Finn's historic.
Whoa. What about Nia?
I'm saying, well, first of all, we're talking about people who count.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
So, anybody with an ounce of talent here. Actually, I got really mad at Matt Hardy because earlier in the week he explained why WWE should be built around this guy who just, ruins things and has really, really bad music.
That is bad. I'll give you that. It is bad.
I kind of got a little nauseous. There was pros and cons to that opening segment, but it was nauseating how they were just oh, what does the internet say? Well, now we're just going to have Seth parrot. I was like, for fuck's sakes, man. Like, they were just trying to appease people instead of just saying, suck it up. I miss when WWE used to be of the mindset of, hey, just suck it up, it'll get better. And instead, they're just like, oh, please forgive us. Here's Seth Rollins, he'll say what everybody else say. Fortunately, the match was good. Because Baron was in it. And Baron carried Seth to the best match of Seth's year so far? I'm pretty sure that was the best match Seth has had. Because it was short, it wasn't fucking 30 minutes of awfulness. Seth didn't have a chance to sell much of anything. And yet he still did the fucking buckle bomb. Why the fuck is he doing the buckle bomb 6 days onto a table nonetheless? Like,
I would think it'd be safer on a table, wouldn't you?
I don't know. I questioned that, and I was just like, why not just not do it?
Fair enough, but like, I thought that was one of the best moves of the night.
It looked great.
It did.
But so does a lot of that shit that we cringe at. So, it was a great match, and I'll tell you why I thought Baron had a chance. Because I still don't think Braun's going to be there. So why wouldn't it make some sense to have Dean, Seth, and Baron in a triple threat? Like, that was my mindset. I felt they could have done something with that, but once they made it the main event, then it kind of lost its luster for that purpose. Good match.
I like how they played it, though. Again, with Heath, getting him involved, this is...
You mean stealing my idea?
Yes, completely stealing your idea, yes. But I like how they got him involved, and it didn't end up panning out for Baron, because that's so typical. So at least we got it where it didn't, you know, we got the anti-swerve. And they've been really against that lately, so I kind of like that. It was a little, you know.
And by the way, for anybody that's like, oh, well, most stuff that you guys say was your idea is very predictable. No, nobody in the history here was like, let's push Heath Slater. Nobody was thinking that.
It's true.
We come up with this, and then it happens. So, yeah, it's becoming obvious. I want my residual.
It's true. We should definitely get it. Oh, did you? I just want to talk about this real quick. It just hit me because you talked about that, residuals. So, was anybody else, when Paige ripped up the contracts of those indie workers, did you hear the fans react in such a negative way to what she did?
When did this happen?
When Miz and Shane, or Shane fought with Miz, the tag team.
I swear to God, I watched both shows from beginning to end, and I don't remember that.
Yeah, the ref was getting yelled at by Paige because he sanctioned a match and he wasn't supposed to, and then Miz told the ref that it was sanctioned by Paige, so she got mad. Then the indie guys come up and give her the invoice saying she'll take it $5,000 each, and she ripped up the contract, and the crowd just instantly reacted negatively to Paige, and they're supposed to be cheering Paige, and they didn't, because they're like, you pay them, how dare you, you know. It's just like, and I was like, holy crap, good for them, they should be cheering on the little guy.
I mean, kudos to Paige, she's been given some really bad things to work with.
Oh yeah,
She's doing the best she can.
I just thought it was funny. Like, I couldn't believe, like, they're supposed to be supporting Paige, and that completely backfired in their face. That was funny.
Well, those guys got a little bit of a pop.
They did.
All right, Kerry Wrangless.
Yeah, come on. Yes. Don't let us go on with this.
Let's discuss our picks for the Intercontinental Championship match at TLC. We got Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose. I'd like to see Dean win, but I think Seth's retaining. I'd ask Russ who's his pick is, but I think we already know. But Russ, give it to us anyways.
All right, this was a tough one. I feel like... All right. I think Dean wins because I think Seth's going to win the Rumble. He hasn't won it yet. It's the one accolade he hasn't won yet. This is the time. So I think Dean's winning this one.
I'm done.
And Kent.
Well, it is the season to be stealing from Kent, so Seth retains so Heath can get the IC belt. And bring some prestige back to it. My God. You know, like we were saying, oh no, Elias or Lashley may drop down to the mid-card. It's only because we have a certain champion stinking up the fucking joint. If we had somebody like Heath Slater carrying that championship, maybe we wouldn't see it so bad if Lashley or Elias was down there in mid-card hell. Okay? So, just saying, maybe take the belt off, you know, the guy that, you know, cripples people.
You, sir, are nettled. You're very nettled.
No. Neville's, like, in UK now, I think.
Nope, he's at Dragon Gate, which is in Japan.
There's no such thing as dragons. Why are they just making a gate for them? Like, have they not learned their lesson? And then they're like, oh, let's make a wrestling promotion after it.
He has actually the title, I think, right
just
now.
Just like
Dragon Gate.
Wrestling is fake, so...
That's kayfabe talking.
I don't think Anonymous still does not have a grasp on kayfabe.
At least he's gotten to a point now where he acknowledges that they try to exaggerate things. I am so proud of him for at least doing that. And if you don't know who we're talking about, folks, he is one of our column writers for... our blog writer, sorry, not column writer. We don't pay him. one of our blog writers for Are You Not Kentertained?
Wow.
Or Kentertained. Or NineDeuce.com.
Wow.
How
about Wrestling Nine Deuce?
Wrestling9deuce.com.
Did you get your Christmas card from him yet?
No, which scares me.
He's probably going to hand deliver it.
Yeah, thanks. That's just what I want on Christmas. So, but anyway, yeah, so he's the writer, but he has two things. He absolutely loves Ronda Rousey. You cannot say a bad thing about her to him. And he thinks wrestling's real. So we try to teach him, and I am proud of him. He has gotten to a point now where he at least acknowledges that they exaggerate their hatred towards each other a little bit. That's good. Baby steps. There's going to be a time when we finally break him, and he understands it's all meant to be fun. But until then... whatever.
That's like revealing the Santa, you know, is real.
But Santa is real. I mean...
Right. There's so many people that don't believe it,
though. Exactly. They're fools. They're complete and utter fools.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Or are they fickle?
Ooh.
Ooh. I am liking that word because it also makes me want to have pickles.
Yes.
And I love pickles.
Who doesn't love a good pickle that's not fickle?
But speaking of things that are fickle, or maybe it's just the fans that are fickle.
Yes.
Let's talk about the man who thinks the fans are fickle. Let's talk WWE Championship match. Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. I have to say, guys, Daniel Bryan, this new Daniel Bryan's grown on me. He's fun. I like him. I like him a lot. I still remember somebody saying, oh, you can't turn Daniel Bryan heel. You just can't because he's Daniel Bryan. Surprise, you can. And he's doing it fantastic.
They did it in the most perfect way of doing it, though, because it's the only way you could have gotten this. Is it Daniel's idea? Because this has to, right? Because Daniel gets a lot of say in what he gets to do.
This was his idea. He wanted
to... I know he wanted to turn heel, but did he...
Well, okay, first of all, like a month ago, we said, either fire Daniel or do something creative with him.
Yes.
Daniel must have heard the podcast.
Yes, maybe it's Daniel who does the...
You know, so there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have punted a baby. That might have gotten him a little heat.
Oh, that's true. I could have possibly done it. But
his name isn't Snitsky.
This was the only way this would have worked. Make him so annoying. And it's perfect. This is exactly what he needed to do. This is great. I definitely... I'm sorry. I know it's not my turn. He's definitely retaining. AJ does not need the title anymore for now.
I'd have to agree. Daniel's retaining. What do you think, Kent?
Yeah, he's retaining. It made me think... Why didn't they ever do other, like, 205 matches with AJ when he was the champion. Like, why didn't we ever get, like, Brian Kendrick versus Styles on SmackDown? Like, think about all the missed opportunities. Like, I want to see more of this. I want to see more of Daniel versus 205 because it's fresh. It's interesting. And
so
Daniel,
you enjoyed Mustafa Ali?
I enjoyed the fact that the match was entertaining.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, the match was good.
And I also enjoyed Daniel beating the ever loving piss out of him. Oh, that really made me happy. Tears running down my face of joy.
And tears running down your one-eyed monster.
Shaft!
Alright, guys. Let's move on to the final match on the card. We got the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair versus Asuka in a TLC match. Oh, I'm sorry. A first-time historic...
Thank you.
TLC match. Yay, I finally get to use that in the correct spot. Alright. This match is going to make me sad in a way, because I know this probably means the end of Becky's run.
It's perfectly okay.
But it's okay, because I think she's winning the Rumble, so she can face Ronda at WrestleMania. And we're getting Ronda versus Becky Lynch as our main event at WrestleMania. And I'm completely okay with that as well. So basically, this match starts off touches off a series of events that I'm completely okay with. I'm comfortable with it. I welcome Asuka as our new champ and have her and Charlotte duke it out for the SmackDown Women's Championship at WrestleMania further down the card from Becky and Ronda. Kent, your thoughts?
I came into yesterday thinking I kind of had everything figured out. I'm a little worried. I am not going to lie. I am a little worried because there was one person standing dominant at the show.
I was just about to say, the person dominant is what worries the shit out of me on this one.
And the person that wasn't, I mean, we all pretty much assumed that Becky's not retaining, and then that leaves somebody else to possibly win it and ruin a perfectly good evening of fun wrestling.
Yes.
And that is what WWE would like to do.
This time, don't predict it, Kent, because usually when we predict the crap, it happens. Go against your probably right thinking and choose the right choice.
I'm predicting Becky to lose the championship. That is my safe bet. I mean, it's time. It's so time for the obvious thing to happen. Obvious things are obvious. If you believe the internet rumors that Vince was surprised at the crowd reaction that Asuka received when she was possibly being considered to replace Becky Lynch. Okay, good. Vince is oblivious while running his company. I don't believe that rumor, because I don't believe Vince is nearly as oblivious as the internet would like to paint him as. But here we are. It's time. Like, it is time. Asuka's paid her dues. And... I'm gonna say that The Walking Dead doesn't return until February.
Russ, your thoughts?
Oh, man. All right. So, you're right. This sucks. Becky just got the belt not too long ago.
3 weeks ago, Russ.
This one I know for a fact is a lot longer than 3 weeks.
Good for you.
But she doesn't need it. She's transcended it. She's transcended every woman wrestler ever. She's possibly, if they don't fuck it up, because they're still going to fuck this up somehow. She's possibly going to be the best women's wrestler ever to existed up to this point. And we all love Alexa Bliss.
Most over. I don't want to say best.
All right, most over. She'll be hitting that superstar level that only has been allowed to the men.
I mean, it's like saying Austin was the best wrestler of all time.
Okay, fair enough. You're right. He was over. Most over. I'll agree with you. Okay, most over. I'll retract what I was saying. And I don't think there's any chance. So she doesn't need the belt. She's transcended it. She's over it. But her getting that victory is going to be great. And I totally believe Kerry. I think she's right. I think this is going to go Royal Rumble. She's winning it. She gets to fight Ronda, which is everyone's dream match. I'm so glad they didn't do it at Survivor Series now.
Isn't like this like the worst kept secret now in business in wrestling right now? Like the inevitability of Becky winning the Rumble?
It's got to be, but you never know. They might try to change it because they don't like to go with the trend, so you never know. But it makes the most sense. The only thing is, if I remember correctly, you said if they ever have a women's main event, you're going to stop watching wrestling, and I am pretty damn sure this is going to be the main event, Becky versus Ronda. It is so hyped. What's going to happen?
Yeah, you can believe it, but I'll believe it when I see it. Question is, would it hurt WrestleMania or help it if they included Conor McGregor and, was it Travis Brown? Ronda's man?
I think so, yes.
Would it hurt it in any, like, I honestly think it would be kind of cool if they, I hate mixed match tag. We know this, but I kind of think I'd like to see them. I don't even like Conor McGregor, but I would kind of like to see their involvement at WrestleMania.
Maybe not in a match, but
in their corner.
In the corner, yeah.
And where they have just like some random run in where they hit each other type.
Right. Yeah. You know. Nothing. Not a real match. Let them. Yeah. Because not a real match.
I don't want anything that's going to cheapen what this potentially could be.
Yeah.
Ronda kind of cheapens it as it is. If we're being honest, I mean, no other person gets handed matches quite like Ronda does for good reason, but it is something that always needs to be acknowledged. Nobody gets it.
I agree with you, but can we at least also acknowledge that she's, for a rookie, she's put in the work. She's doing really well. I mean, I have to acknowledge at least that fact that she's improved considerably. Where there's some wrestlers still out there that suck and have sucked for years.
She's exceeded expectations, no doubt.
So, I mean, she doesn't deserve you're right. She doesn't deserve it. Absolutely.
I don't even want to say she doesn't deserve it. I think she deserves it because she's bringing money. She's bringing eyes. I'm just saying that sometimes people get a little overhyped on Ronda when it's like, I mean, if you gave Nia Jax 3 months to prepare for a match, she might be able to give us a 3 out of 10 match.
Right, right.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing is Ronda's been in consistently, every time she's been in there, she's been in the best match of the night. So.
Now, something I want to ask Kerry is, Kerry, do you have something wrong? Because I did not hear you mention the match with Shinsuke. I mean, he's the U.S. champion. He's got to have a match on a 12-match card, right?
I did not see a U.S. title match on this card.
What? You mean every single title except that one is on the line? What a shock.
Oh, no, Raw Tag Team isn't on there either.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, so I guess there's one from each team. And it had to be Shinsuke. How does he... If I were him, I'd be gone. New Japan or nothing at that point. Because I love Shinsuke, and they are totally fucking him up.
New Japan has already expressed interest in bringing Shinsuke Nakamura back. And Nakamura's contract, I believe, is up sometime next year.
I mean, wouldn't New Japan technically take anybody with huge name recognition at this point? Like, that makes
they
sense.
They want Gallows and Anderson back, and they want AJ back, too. Well, yeah, I know they're not getting AJ back, but they want Gallows.
I'd want all of them back.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, most any wrestling company wants any big name.
Right. For example, if
WWE.
Corbin decided he didn't want to be in WWE anymore, New Japan would want him. There's no question.
No, they want it. He doesn't have their style. I could see Corbin going to Ring of Honor.
Oh.
Or
yeah,
Impact.
I mean, it'd be a shame for him to kick everybody's ass over in Japan.
Wrong style.
I know.
Yeah, it's not
winning
strong
style.
Oh, boy.
Corbin would kill everybody. Just acknowledge it. It's okay.
But anyway.
If Albert could dominate, Corbin would kill. That's my analysis.
I remember when Kerry used to like Corbin. What happened to you, Kerry? What happened to you? He is the best general manager we have ever seen. He's done nothing wrong, ever. Right, Kent?
Well, yeah, because, you know, sometimes we have these short matches, and it's like, you know what? I think the fans would want a match longer. Let's just make it no DQ.
Exactly.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with it. He knows...
Lucha House Party rules.
That was the most fun I've seen. Yes, I was pissed off at first, but it really started getting fun. And then they ruined it by not having it this week. Thanks, WWE. Screw you, too.
Bliss, they finally gave us a first-time historic, you know, women's GM. Corbin is doing God's work.
She's not the first women's GM, though, is she? Because I thought...
First women's division general.
Okay, there you... Okay, gotcha.
Because, you know, Vicky... You know,
because Vicky, as I say, I'm pretty sure Vicky was...
And AJ. I think we're probably even missing another
one. I'm sure we are. Lita, at some point.
Possibly. Or Stephanie, obviously.
Stephanie, obviously.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, for the women's division... She's the first.
Well, actually, if you think about it, all the heels right now are doing some really positive things. Daniel Bryan's talking to us about conservation.
Tells you where
Corbin's, Corbin's, you know, being proactive towards pushing women into managerial positions within his organization. Samoa Joe's talking about drinking in moderation. There's others, but
Randy Orton.
Randy's trying to promote self-esteem by ripping masks off people.
Exactly,
you're beautiful.
Right,
you're still beautiful under.
You don't need the mask. You don't have to hide.
Right.
And then the faces. I mean, think of the faces. Braun Strowman has basically committed attempted murder
a few times. Yeah, he's a bully.
Yes.
Seth Rollins is the most arrogant dick I've ever met. Oh, Dean. He's been promoting self. You know, cleanliness and,
yes,
you know,
vaccinations.
Yep. And, you know, being your own individual. Stuff. Yeah.
And meanwhile, you got somebody like Rousey. Every time Stephanie's like, you did a really good job. I want to shake your hand. Then Ronda's like, no, I want to break your arm.
Exactly.
Like, what?
Positive role model leader woman trying to promote synergy between women, because that's a big negative around, you know. And what does Ronda do? Continues the stereotype. Good job, Ronda.
I tell you guys, I think they've just got it confused. I think the heels are doing great things for the community.
So who wants to bet next week they start changing everyone's roles?
Yep, they're going to just to mess with all of us. So
on
guys,
the plus side, there was an Apollo sighting this week.
There was.
We can't say that most of the time. So.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true. He made Apollo made Raw. That was
and his hand went places.
Yes.
Places. Her throat.
I don't think that was her throat, Kent.
Well, things can go inside. It's a throat.
Okay.
Don't question this.
Okay.
Carrie's pulling the Russ?
Oh, okay,
or
guys.
Or Kent, because you've been doing it a lot lately, too.
Russ, go to hell.
It's the first time I've done that in a very long time. Anyway, okay, guys, final thoughts on TLC. I'm hoping I get to stay awake long enough to see the SmackDown Women's Championship match. I think it's going to be good. Everything else I can take or leave, but I really want to see that. Kent, your final thoughts.
I'm on an excitement level. I'm at about a 7. 7.5. I am looking forward to more matches than I am not. So I'm happy with this so far.
Ross, how about you?
Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to this. I'm not trying to get too overhyped because there's definitely going to be some garbage matches in this. And it's going to be long as hell. 12 matches, or some of these matches are going to be super short. So definitely looking forward to it. Not trying to get overhyped, but there are some really good potential matches in this thing. So,
I have a quick question. Now that Raw has this edict to stop exactly at 11, like SmackDown stops exactly at 10, I know, Carrie, you don't stay up to watch it, but, I mean, you can still participate in this. Does it hurt the product knowing that there's, like, finality at a certain time versus, you know, back in the day, is this going to go to 11:07, 11:15? Did that help the unpredictability?
I think it was the way, and this was mentioned in something I read today, where it was the cliffhanger that you got at the end of the episode. Everything's so final now. It really doesn't matter when the show ends, but back, 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, the end of Raw usually made you hungry for next week's show. And if you had run over, that run over kind of led to that moment where it whetted your appetite for the following week. So I say with today's current product, way everything's being booked, it's not going to hurt anything at all.
Russ, anything?
My only thoughts are, I think I agree with you, because once almost 11 o'clock, it was like 10:58 or 10:59 at that point, and Seth got back on his feet after Baron. I was like, okay, Seth's won it. There was no question after that. I looked at the time. I was like, yep, it's going to end in a minute, so it's got to end here. Yep. And that's what happened. So, yeah, there is something to that. Same thing with the women's match. It didn't end the way I expected it, but I knew it was coming to its end. So,
yeah, it's like, I like having, I didn't need 15 extra minutes, but that 5-minute extra gap where you couldn't exactly predict on your watch when the exact moment that pin was going to happen or whatever. Like, now it's just like, all right, you're looking, there's only 2 minutes to go, this match has to wrap up within the next 30 seconds so we can see them celebrate type thing. It kind of hurts the ending of a show. I prefer having a little bit of a cliffhanger, a little bit emphasis heading into next week, because WWE is really bad at promoting the next week's show. That's one thing WWE's really always consistently been terrible at, is promoting matches, which I know they book week to week, but still kind of seems stupid, if you ask me.
Fair enough. All right, guys. So we've previewed TLC. Let's talk about what we're looking forward to next week in our segment. I am not finished with you yet. I'm probably the only one here, but I'm looking forward to the results from Final Battle. I think it's going to speak volumes as to where the Ring of Honor branch of the Elite are headed come start of 2019. If they win titles, it means they're coming back. If they don't, it means everything's kind of up for grabs and everything's up in the air. Kent, how about you?
Yeah, me too. I'm also looking forward to that bottle of tears that Russ is going to save up for me. I'm looking forward to drinking down that salty deliciousness. And Shinsuke Nakamura in the Revival. Those are my two things. Shinsuke in the Revival. That's what I'm looking forward to next week.
Russ?
Well, if we're all going to go to our must-go-to favorite things, might as well say I'm looking forward to see what Seth does next week after he's lost his title. And how Baron Corbin is going to make his life a living hell, because we're pretty sure Baron's winning that thing.
Okay. So now that we've discussed what we're looking forward to next week, I think it's, well, guys, it's time to play our favorite game. It's time to play Guess the Wrestler. So, listeners, the rules of Guess the Wrestler are very simple. Each week, one of us picks the wrestler. This week, it was my pick. And it's up to the other two to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. Each week, there are 2 gimme answers that the person who picks the wrestler is going to provide the others, and my answers to those questions are that this is a male, kind of current wrestler.
Male, kind of current. Okay. So it's not Seth Rollins.
I saw the word gimme on my TV screen earlier this week, and I tried to grab a screenshot of it, and I failed.
Oh. All right. First question, Carrie. What is the brand we would know the most for?
WCW.
So he's young.
Yes, yes, he is.
But he had to have been sort of young while in WCW, because that ended a few days ago. Huh. And if you think about it, most of the top stars are no longer active.
True.
There.
That's tough, yeah. That's why she said semi-active.
What is the most prestigious title that Russ or I may have heard of that this person has held?
The heavyweight championship.
The WCW heavyweight
of WCW? Championship?
Yes.
Okay, Wolfpack, black and white, or not?
Not.
I have an idea who it is, but I have a feeling that this answer is going to bring a smile to my face, is my guess. Carrie, can I get a hair color?
Brown.
When we do hair color, can we say brown / black? Because I can never tell in pictures anymore.
If it's dark brown or darkish, just say darkish. Like, I'm fine
dark
with that.
Dark hair.
Okay. All right.
There's not many former world champions that are still semi-active. So we have that going for us.
It's true. I'm just trying to figure out who it is. I don't have an inkling like you because I don't know anybody about WCW. In fact, I'm going to have to go cheat just to get names for WCW.
Russ, you scoundrel.
I know. Did they have a valet or, someone accompany them?
No.
Has this person ever starred in a movie?
Yes.
Well, Kent knows who it is. Maybe.
Russ, how the hell do you not know who it is then?
Because I can't think of anybody from WCW right now.
All right, Russ. Think of one of the most infamous things in wrestling history that's not the Montreal Screwjob, and you may have an inkling. Jeff Jarrett and or Diamond Dallas Page may or may not be involved with this.
Is this the lay down? Is that the most...
Are you talking about Finger Point of Doom?
Yes.
Poke of Doom? Yeah. Nope, that's Hall. That's a
Hall and Nash and Hogan. Hogan. Right, yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know if I know. Your turn. Well, no, you asked your question, didn't you? The bell.
I did, and I got my answer, yes. You want to use the next three, or can I just
get a good one towards it? Go ahead.
Was this person ever in the Scream franchise?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Now I know who it is. That's because he just came back. You're right. We talked about this last week.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Well, now I know. Now I'm on board. Is this person someone who's actually famous before wrestling?
Yes.
And final question, did this person like my Bone Tomahawk blog 2 years ago?
Why, yes he did, Ken.
We're obviously talking about Hulk Hogan.
Clearly. It's good to see. Arquette is in great shape.
Hmm.
Like, for a man his age, have either of you seen him?
No, I'm going to look him up right now.
I saw the highlights from LA Confidential, where he had the deathmatch, including the spot that gave him the huge gash on his neck.
There was a really good write-up. I think I talked about this like a couple months ago. ESPN did a good write-up on him. And last month they did a really good write-up on AJ Styles' mediocre championship run. ESPN's doing really good with WWE or wrestling-related articles.
Wow, David Arquette.
Surprising.
Must have... Holy crap. I've seen so many pictures. He looks really fat in one. Really... Like, he's in shape in another. And they all look about the same age, like old. Holy crap.
He basically got sick of being made fun of. Because he was a lifelong wrestling fan. So he's like, screw it, I'm going to get back into it. And dedicated himself to it.
Huh.
I don't know, props to Arquette.
Yeah.
A guy I like watching on all screens.
To be fair.
And he's showing up everywhere right now with wrestling. He was on this week's episode of Edge and Christian Show. He's been in a couple of YouTube shows. I think Dalton Castle's YouTube show. He showed up on that one of those episodes. He's been popping up everywhere in the, at least on the independent side. He has been.
Yeah,
good for him.
I think no matter what, like, it was a bad decision on WCW's part, but we should blame David Arquette. Because every single
was it really that bad of a decision?
Yeah, because I remember how much you hated it. You were really against it when it first happened.
Right. In hindsight, though, it's kind of like the Rousey situation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities. Plus, WCW, if I'm not mistaken, did they have some kind of production into Ready to Rumble to the point where it made sense for them to promote the hell out of it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. It was a mistake, but it's a forgivable mistake. And definitely nobody should be mad at Arquette.
Right, exactly. He did exactly what everyone else in the world would do.
Hey, Russ, you want to be the world champion tomorrow?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh, wait, you're going to offend people that have never been world champion and worked their whole life for it, Russ. Are you sure?
I don't care. Yes.
All right.
Besides, with WCW, there were so many other factors. He was kind of like, in terms of like everything that was going on with that company, just a cherry, kind of like a cherry, not even a cherry on top of a sundae, but like one of the nuts.
Yeah, when it's just a shit show, like you can have a few things, and like you're still, he wasn't the worst thing. I mean, there's so many things worse from WCW that
the bloated egos, the bloated salaries, Vince Russo, the list.
Vince Russo made Attitude Era, okay? Thank you.
I've read his book. He believes it.
I like Carrie's face. She actually almost thought I was being serious for a second there.
No, I was like, wait, what?
Oh, no. Vince Russo's a cancer.
All right, listeners. So there you have it. Another successful run of Guess the Wrestler. Okay, any announcements for our listeners before we say goodnight to everyone?
No, I will hype that sometime towards the end of this month or beginning of next year, we're going to have our Best of 2018 show. Don't have a date on it yet, because we haven't talked about it, but it's happening. Rest assured, it's happening, and we are doing thorough research across the globe on every match that ever happened in 2018, so we can determine the best of the best of the best.
I don't want to do any research.
Russ, me neither.
Oh, okay, good.
We're just going to read a bunch of lists.
We're lying.
And then we're just going to steal.
I can tell the listeners exactly how that episode is going to go. You guys are going to pick something WWE related. I'm going to pick Match of the Year, Okada versus Omega 4, and Kenny Omega for Wrestler of the Year. Russ is going to pick Seth Rollins for Wrestler of the Year. So,
well, that's why I didn't want to do it that way, Carrie.
Jeez.
I wanted to do best, you know, indie matches, best WWE matches. That way we get input and insults. I mean, I'm picking Roppongi,
like,
you know? So, there, Carrie, okay?
Well, fine.
You get to host it. You better wear a nice fucking dress, too. Get your nails done, hair done. I'm going to get my hair done.
Yeah, it's going to take Kent years.
Damn right.
That's going to be a long hair appointment.
Yeah, it is. They're going to be like, what do we do with this?
It's a beautiful mane.
Updo it, dang it. Updo. I want curls coming down the sides of my face. I want, you know.
Oh, I would love curls. Look good on me.
Yeah.
All right, listeners. So there you have it. Check out our blog at 9deuce.com. Check out our some of the past episodes of our podcast, also on 9deuce.com/podcasts. If you're listening to us on iTunes, hit that subscribe button, rate, review, you know, subscribe, all that good stuff. And for Russ, Kent, and myself, we wish y'all a good night, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
Bye, y'all!
I'm just one man.
I miss 3MB.